Suppose your friend has just been to the dentist and cannot talk clearly. She is trying to tell you, with the help of hand gestures, that at the dentist's she had several injections of anesthetic. The first two or three attempts to numb her tooth apparently didn't work, so the dentist added more anesthetic. Unfortunately, all of the shots eventually became effective, leading your friend to bite her tongue very badly because she couldn't feel anything. If this were not your friend telling you the story, but some stranger sitting next to you on the bus who couldn't make you understand that he or she had been to the dentist, you might be inclined to move to another seat. This simple example should be enough to show that when there is a problem understanding the words that are said, whether because of temporary or permanent speech difficulties on the part of the speaker, or because of a lack of ability to understand the words on the part of the hearer, other indicators of meaning assume a very great importance. Children in their first year or so are often in a situation akin to the poor dental patient above. They may want, often desperately, to communicate something, but often cannot. However, that does not deter them from making the effort as they follow what seems to be a natural desire to communicate. Neither does it mean that we cannot understand the message children try to send until they are using adult words. We use their actions, gestures, and tone of voices to interpret, or at least make a good guess at, their meanings, just as we do with a dental patient. As children gradually add words and phrases to their communicative repertoire, the problem of insufficient understanding diminishes. But for much of the first 2 or 3 years of a child's life, conversations are crucially dependent upon those less important things in which adult conversations usually only provide added context: facial expressions, hand gestures, objects, and people in the vicinity.